Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, home of the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine. Testing underway, running backs and offensive linemen on the field today. Across the street at the Indiana Convention Center, we welcome in for Jaguars.com Live, J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, and the professor, John Clayton, 710 ESPN. Good to see you, man.
Good
Thanks for coming
you.
Over.
Good to be here.
Here we go, another combine.
I've only been to like 29 of
That's
these.
That's it.
Yeah, 1990 was my first.
So, I mean, and when you say that, we always talk to people about it, but it's fascinating to me. What was the scene in your first combine?
What's
your biggest memory?
Well, the biggest memory, there's only 9 writers. And that was the 4th combine here in Indianapolis.
Right.
And so it was more open because they didn't realize that 9 people from the media would be interested in coming to this. And so what they did is that we're over at the old Crown Plaza, and they didn't even have any security guards. They didn't have any protection or anything like that. And so what we did, we sat by the elevators where the players were going up and down and trying to identify the players and then try to talk to them. And then not realizing that Duke Babb, who was running this combine, was eventually going to hate us and try to chase us away. And so the memory certainly was walking by and yelling to Junior Seau, "Hey, Junior, come here for a second." Or, you know, Cortez Kennedy, "Come here for a second." And that was great. But then after a while, we started to get, you know, 12, 15, and this onslaught of media coming up here. All of a sudden, we had curtains. Next thing you know, the heat in the lobby would be turned off. The chairs would be taken away, thinking, oh, yeah, we're going to be here's a gold mine where you have every agent, every GM, every coach, every draft choice. Everybody's here, and it's like, okay, you're going to turn the heat off in cold weather, and we're going to go away? We just got our coats, got our tape recorders, and we went back at it.
It's pretty.
And now who are some of the names that were there?
What's that? Let's see. It was Rick Goslin, Len Pascarelli, Jeff Legwalt.
Sure. Okay. All your big hitters.
Wow.
All your big hitters.
From 9 to 1,300 or so this year.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then it's like, you know, we didn't have all the, I mean, you know, what we do a lot. But one of our heroes was Jerome Bettis. Because Jerome Bettis, when he came there every day, he would walk out behind the curtain and says, "You guys need anything?" And he's like, "Yeah, can you come out here and talk for a second?" And he would talk as long as you want. And then after a while, we said, "Hey, can you go get this guy?"
Right.
And then Jerome would go back and go get the guys. It's like
he was running guys for
you. Yeah, it was like phenomenal. Yeah.
That's
now,
fantastic.
How many TV spots for other media did you do that week, John? Any like this?
Well, we didn't have much TV.
Right.
No, you had the Indianapolis station, and then and eventually Dallas would send a couple crews up there if they're going through that constant coaching changes and that. I walked, 15 feet about 20 minutes ago, and I got 4 TV hits. 4.
Outstanding.
And a triple teamed in Louisville because everybody asking about, is Lamar Jackson going to be a wide receiver? It's like, I think he's going to turn down the option to run at the wide receiver position. You know, he's more valuable as a quarterback than a wide receiver.
Like Andy Reid said, let's try this quarterback thing out and run that string out first before we change positions. So is the free agency the big news here? Is it the combine prospects? Is it a mix of all that for your coverage?
All
here?
Of the above.
Yeah.
No, because again, this is like, you know, this is now, I think, surpassed the winter meetings in baseball. Forgive me, baseball, if you're upset about that. But of course, they didn't sign anybody this offseason. They're still waiting to be signed.
Yeah.
But no, this surpasses everything because again, you know, what you have is, you know, the cutdowns of teams that are over the cap. That's in the process of happening. The draft choice. I mean, here we have one of the most interesting quarterback drafts that maybe we've had since 1983. And this group is certainly not going to have the 3-4 Hall of Famers in 83 because all the quarterbacks have some kind of a flaw. But again, when you have 4 quarterbacks that could be considered in the top 10, that's unique. You don't see that much. 5 that could be in the first round. So that plays a big role. And then, of course, all the agents and negotiations because, you know, technically, as you know, there's no negotiations allowed in free agency.
Never happens.
No, in fact, it's
It's
a rule. So I sat next to one team talking to one prominent agent and trying to pick up, oh, you going for 3 or 4 of these guys or what?
It's
now,
incredible.
83, though, Elway was the guy and you knew it, though, right?
It.
So this is maybe even a little more dynamic than this in that you really don't know who the top guy is this year.
No, I think most people think it's going to be Sam Darnold.
Okay.
But, you know, most quarterbacks who don't throw are going to be criticized. I think he's making the right move. And here's the reason, because, I mean, you know Josh Allen can throw. You know Josh Rosen can throw. I mean, you know that you can get good throwing from most of these quarterbacks. But, you know, here's Sam Darnold. He's going to be one of the youngest, if not the youngest, starting quarterback in the history of the league, and he still has some mechanical things he needs to work through. So if he goes tomorrow on Saturday and starts to throw, you know, he may not look as good as the other guys, and it would hurt him. So I think he's getting good advice. Go to the USC workout.
Avoid that one-on-one comparison.
Avoid that one-on-one comparison, and just go light it up, because I still think in the end he'll be the first pick in the draft.
Impressions this year, I know you're all the way on the West Coast, but you follow the whole league. Impressions this year of the Jaguars, their turnaround, I know you followed it closely when they were struggling for a long time. As you watched them develop, what were your thoughts and what do you think the keys to it were?
Well, the keys, I think, and that's why I'm so happy that Dave Caldwell also got rewarded. I mean, I think when you put everything together with Caldwell, Coughlin, and Marrone, it was the perfect fit because Marrone got the toughness on the team. Mm-hmm. I think the tougher training camp he came in there. Coughlin gave them a perspective of what things that he thought from his experience he wanted. And I think, you know, Dave Caldwell never got enough credit for the success he's had in 2 years of building up that defense. I mean, again, I still go back, and we were together for that Jacksonville-Tampa Bay scrimmage back in 2016, and I thought that the speed and the acquisitions that Dave made on defense was huge, and then because I thought they moved a year ahead of Tampa Bay in the development of the defense, and then to come back and get the two top free agents on defense in football, you know, in A.J. Bouye and Calais Campbell, how huge is that? And so the beauty is also he mixed in getting a veteran leadership type, getting Barry Church, Calais Campbell. That was huge. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the look and see what Blake Bortles at least developed toward the end of the season. So, I mean, it bodes well because now you've got, I guess the comparable would be Jacksonville versus Minnesota as far as the defense. And, you know, for speed, Jacksonville probably has a little bit more speed on defense. You know, maybe there's certainly the cornerback situation is better at Jacksonville, but it's both good on both teams. But that's the comparables. Like, can the quarterback, whoever it's going to be in Bortles and Jacksonville, whoever it's going to be in Minnesota, can they take it to the next level and not just go to the Super Bowl, but win a Super Bowl?
Why did it I asked Alex Marvez this a few minutes ago. Malik Jackson, Deshaun Gibson signed as free agents last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the class of Bouye, Church, and Campbell this year. You've been doing this a long time, covered a lot of free agency.
Yeah.
That's about as successful
about as
it
good
gets
as you're gonna get.
In what can be rocky seas, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, all you had to do is look at the last week at the waiver wire and see how many of Chicago's free agents have been let go, whether it's Willie Young. I mean, Lamar Houston was let go last year, Pernell McPhee, Mike Glennon. I mean, you go through a long list. And, you know, to hit on free agency and be able to hit well is very difficult. I mean, you take a look at, you know, this year's free agent class. I don't think it's as strong as last year's. I mean, you know, particularly now that, you know, you're not going to get defensive end help. And so to be able to go in there and hit hard. I mean, you know, it's, you know, better than, say, when Seattle in 2013 went out and got Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, because now you're talking about there's a little bit more volume there because, you know, Cliff Averill and Bennett actually were backups on that team. They just came in a nickel pass rush situation. But Campbell, you know, one of the defensive player of the year candidate, along with Bouye, you know, now going with Jalen Ramsey and being the best 1-2 combination of cornerback. I mean, does it get any better than that?
It's almost unheard of.
Yeah, it is.
You look at it like that.
It really is. We got to ask you while you're here, John. Hall of Fame selector.
Yeah.
Tony Boselli 2 years ago got into the room first time and got in the top 10. This past time around, back in the room again, of course, back in the top 10. How is his candidacy moving ahead?
It's going to be a little slow because now when you go into the final 15 and you have five offensive linemen, which was the case, you know, four making it in the top 10, they all take votes away from each other. And, you know, being that I've been in the room now since 88, even though I'm not the oldest guy, I'm the senior guy for being in there, we've seen this happen before. I mean, you go back to when Andre Reed and Art Monk were going at the wide receiver position, we'd have like 3-4 receivers. The one that's almost equal to this is when there was like five pass rushers that were coming through this, and again it took Derek Thomas an extra time to be able to get in, so it compares to that. And so now Joe Jacoby goes out of the mix because he's now a senior candidate, but it still puts it at four, but it's a strong four because then you get Steve Hutchinson and Kevin Mawai and Alan Faneca and Tony Boselli. And, you know, the one thing that didn't help Boselli this particular year was, you know, having, you know, guys like Mawai, who had 161 consecutive games, and having a Fanick who played a lot of games, and a Hutchinson who played a lot of games, and as great as Boselli was, and again, you're talking guards and that versus a tackle and all that, you know, the 91 games and that one comparable kind of knocked him down a little bit. Does it mean he's not a Hall of Famer? No, but the problem is, you know, when you go in and you have that many offensive linemen, they take votes away from each other, and it gets other guys to move up. That's just the reality of what happens when you have a volume at one position.
It's hard to get to 80% of the vote when you're splitting them up like that.
No, it's not the 80% of the vote. It's a matter of, you know, because, you know, once you, the 80% is the vote at the end. That's the yes-no vote.
Okay.
And I'm the one in the room that always makes a speech, hey, these guys have come this fall. Don't vote them out.
Got it.
And so it's like, so it's a matter of, you know, getting into the 10 and then just getting enough votes to get to the 5, and that's the 80%.
Got it.
Did he lose momentum this year?
No.
Or
no,
still
I guess
a
maybe he
chance?
Did. I guess to a certain degree, maybe he did.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't lose, because again, there was such a good push, both not at the meeting, but in the time before,
right,
that, I mean, he gained momentum there, but then again, you know, remember, we're not saying these guys aren't Hall of Famers. I mean, if you make the 15, and I'm the one that does the research, and in fact, Sam down there is the one who actually always goes to me when mm-hmm. I come back, and I say, ultimately, they make it, because it's like 94% success level. If you make the 15, for the most part, you're eventually going to make it. But the problem is, if you have these backups at the position, it pulls things down and slows things up. I mean, I went back after the meeting, and I think I could only count like 3 or 4 in the 15 since 2008 that didn't make it. Mm-hmm. Now, one of them was Don Coryell, but that's when coaches get in and they have a hard time going against players, because, you know, as much as you love Don Coryell, as much as you love Mike Holmgren, I mean, if you're going to vote Boselli versus a coach, it's going to be Boselli.
Jimmy's and Joe's, not X's and O's.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, Jimmy Johnson should be in the Hall of Fame, and it's like, you know, he's up there against players, and the players tend to win. So that's just the reality of it. And, you know, so gained momentum, yes. Gained an appreciation of how good he was, because everybody did a great job of selling that, but it's a matter of now trying to get, you know, enough of these guys. You know, what, and we have had it happen with the defensive ends, because, you know, Charles Haley was in that mix. Just get one in. Once one gets in, now that 4 goes down to 3, that 3 goes down to 2, and then usually you can get one per year. But then we're in a bottleneck right now, because we're in a phase where we're having like 3 first-time ballot guys have got in this past year. Good chance you're going to have 3 next year, because, you know, Ed Reed is going to be there, and there's another good group. So you only have 2
Gonzalez
spots.
As well.
And Tony Gonzalez.
Right,
yeah,
more,
so that makes it tough. But again, it's like, just be patient. I still remember Harry Carson. Harry Carson just ripped and criticized us, and after like waiting 6 years, he says, if I get elected, I'm not coming into the Hall of Fame. I don't want my gold jacket. And they have the Friday meeting, you know, a Friday luncheon with all the Hall of Famers, getting emotional about that. He's one of the leaders right now in getting up there and talking about what that green, what that yellow jacket means to him.
Oh, so he took it. He accepted
the
jacket.
Yeah, he finally said
yes. Oh, yeah.
Of course he did.
But it was free, by the way, and they actually fit it. So
right.
It's like, it's not a good-looking jacket, too.
Absolutely it is. Enjoy the rest of your week here at Indy, and we really appreciate your time, John.
Okay.
Always
John,
nice
as always,
you.
Buddy.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
John Clayton, 710 ESPN Radio in Seattle. We'll be back a little bit later today with more Jaguars.com Live from Indy.